Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple news. And I've been effectively on Mars. Probably Curiosity knows more about it than I do. So I'm looking for the fantastic panel that we have assembled to lead us forwards. Top left, we have Mr. Don McAllister, as ever. How you doing, mate?
Afternoon, you. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Now then, I picked your magazine last week as my cool thing because it was...
Oh, good lad. Yeah, I was a...
Damn fine.
I
wasn't kissing up just because you gave me a Mac Pro. I actually really enjoyed reading it. The two articles at the back were excellent.
Excellent. Good. Yeah, no, the reception's been fantastic. People really seem to have taken to it.
Number one in the charts.
It did get up to number one. Yeah, it did get up to number one during the week. It's dropped down a little bit now, but not too bad for, first attempt. Very good.
Yeah, no, I
don't. All the members, I have to give a shout out to all the members because a lot of them downloaded it to have a look at it, see what it is, because there's a free sample and there's the first full editions there as well. But it's going really well. So the only thing is now doing it every month now. But it's not that big a job, to be honest. It's fairly easy to put together. I'm already doing the video content. And, I've got other people supplying me with articles and hints and tips as well. So it's cool. Just a day or two to assemble it all together and publish it.
Let us know if you want an article on photography. I'll gladly do one for you.
Good idea. No worries. Good idea.
Next to him, change of position and line, Dr. Happy Mac, back from a week of getting pissed.
Oui, bonjour.
En France.
Oui.
Oui, ça va.
Très bien.
So what you been up to then, mate? You've been on the French Riviera.
Well, in the Alps, in the mountains.
Right, okay. And necking lots of wine, lots of beer.
Oh, yeah. Well, big cheese region of France. So cheese and wine and beer every day.
Have you come back with a few extra cheese jowls?
I've come back with, yes, there's extra Dr. Happy Mac to go round.
Lovely. And finally, joining us with Linda Carter in the background, who, of course, is now a lot older. Greenie, how you doing, mate?
I'm all right, Is it really her, then?
That's really Linda Carter, yes. She's let herself go a bit, no question. But we thought, we've been on the superhero theme, haven't we? We've had old Steve Austin in the background, $6 million man, and we thought we'd go with, the chat room suggested this, Wonder Woman. So there you go.
That's nice. Yes, I'm on a diet, actually.
You're on a diet? Why? You're skinny. You don't eat because you drink.
Thanks very much. That's why I come on this show. I am on an Lady Grey diet.
All right. What's that? Is that like 50 Shades of Grey?
It's tea.
All right.
And it's caffeine-free and stuff. I'm trying to, cut down on all the unhealthy things, including red wine. Mind you, isn't red wine good for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Tannins and that.
Tannins, yeah.
So the only thing you eat is tea?
No, I eat other stuff as well, but not as many pizzas and curries as I did.
Oh, okay.
It is a bit of a diet invention of my own, I have to be truthful.
give us your daily intake, mate, then. What would you have for breakfast?
Tea. I take today, for instance, as an instance.
I'll take any day.
This is Friday.
Yep.
So there is a slight change to a Friday. So this morning, I had 2 cups of Lady Grey.
Right.
For lunch, I had a slight alteration today, a chicken kebab meat and chips, which is very nice.
Having this evening? or is there more to go yet before this evening?
Well, Friday is an exception. So I tried it. So I don't have any wine until 7 o'clock. That's my thing every day now. 7 p.m. is wine time.
But the problem is you don't go to bed till 4 a.m. as a result.
But tonight I am having an aftab curry. So today isn't one of the best examples of the New World Green Diet. But there it is. It's good. So it's mainly revolves around Lady Grey tea, which you don't put milk in, so you're saving some fat there, and it's naturally hasn't got any caffeine in.
What's the difference between Lady Grey and Earl Grey? Are they just two different types of tea, or is that?
Well, you see, your Earl Grey has got tannin in. Caffeine in.
Oh, caffeine, right.
Yeah, and Lady Grey is was the wife of Earl Grey, who was a British Prime Minister. I'll have a bit of trivia for you there. And it's got oranges and lavender and various citrus stuff in, and it's good.
It tastes girly.
It tastes very fresh, actually. For a morning brew, you don't take it with milk, and for a morning brew, it's very nice, and it sort of kicks you off to a nice sort of refreshing start. So
lines that in your pipe nicely. And smoke it.
Go on.
It lines your stomach nicely for the midday snack.
It complements kebabs extremely well. That was thank God I can edit. Jesus, the week in Apple.
What do you ask me?
I know. I'm sorry. I fully accept it's my own fault. Thank you, Greeny.
And also, can I copyright that in case anybody else tries to rip it off?
Wouldn't you just love that? Wouldn't you just love that? iOS 6 was the big news this week. It came out. It hit the downloads and. If you've got an iOS device, and I've clicked on the wrong picture. What an arse. Let's start again. iOS 6 is out there. It hit the downloads, and if you're a developer, you'll be out playing with it already. And you'll have noticed that YouTube's lost its status within it, most definitely. Not good at all. Any comments, anyone? Because, I mean, iOS 6, I was surprised it wasn't the GM, really. You'd have thought that it was, or are they holding it back for October, September, October?
Well, it's the one that's just come out is beta 4, I think. So, and again, it's just to developers only. But yeah, I mean, I can only talk about things that are sort of publicly being talked about anyway, because I'm on the developer thing, so I can't really talk too much about it. But it's fairly common knowledge. YouTube thing's gone.
You know that's bull.
What is?
You know that's bull.
Well, everyone else talks about everything, so I don't suppose there's anything going to happen. But anyway, YouTube is gone. Yeah, so there's... There are rumours that Google are actually doing their own YouTube app, which will come in through the App Store. But at the moment, the only way to get to YouTube from iOS 6 is via Safari.
Or Chrome, which does it far better.
Or Chrome.
That was definitely my pick last week. I was trying desperately to watch the Olympics, and Safari was crashing left, right and centre, really glitchy. And when you went full screen on it, all of a sudden you just get these lines would appear, or there'd be a rainbow effect to go across the screen. And all I did was download Chrome and start that up, went to the BBC website, blew it up full screen, never dropped once. It was beautiful browsing experience, I have to say. They get it right. Apple are getting it really wrong with Safari at the moment. Desperately, desperately wrong, I would say. Any big features in iOS 6 that are being discussed or noticed? Publicly, of course, let's not risk...
Publicly. I do know at least one... family that may have attempted to use the new Apple Maps to navigate across Paris in real time.
Oh, right. And how did that go for that family?
Well, apparently that family that spent 2.5 hours going around in circles completely and utterly lost and almost got divorced in the process.
Was the head of that family attributed as the cause of that?
The head of the family was apparently driving, and... what might have been his wife, possibly, was...
soon to be ex-wife.
...was in charge of the iOS mapping experiment. I scored a good solid 1 out of 10.
Right. So would 2 hours, 15 minutes of that 2 hours, 30 minutes be the Périphérique or the island round the Arc de Triomphe?
Obviously, I'm not privy to the absolute details of the experiment, but...
Yes, of course.
But it may have centred around being hugely lost around the Porte de Bagnolet exit of the Périphérique. And then these people may or may not have got completely lost in the centre of Paris for 2 hours.
Again, I'm well aware of the fact that we're speculating here, but would that person, do you think, actually bother doing that in the middle of London?
Would have been nearer, wouldn't it? But we don't know where they live. They could actually be Parisians.
Well, it sounds... they could be, absolutely. But it sounds as though it would have been a better... you know, if you wouldn't do it in London, why would you do it in Paris?
They might have forgotten to pack their TomTom, for example.
Oh, that old, isn't it?
Well, I know another developer who used the mapping to get home. Because you can actually talk to the device and say, "Take me home," you know, or "Get me home," and it will just route you home. And apparently, it took him about 2.5 miles out of the optimum route, so the routing was pretty rubbish on it, to be honest.
Do you know this developer well, or?
Yeah, very well. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Why on earth? I mean, if this thing's still in beta, then I'm guessing why is it? You know, I mean, why is it cocking up so badly? Because it doesn't sound like it's good.
Yeah, it is beta, isn't it? So we've got to give it a let until they do the final version. But you'd think the routing wouldn't...
Beta, so you've got to give it 2.5 hours leeway.
No, you shouldn't rely on it, put it like that.
No. You should rely on the Philips roadmap of Paris.
Oh, my life. What are you two on? Oh, sorry, what are the two developers that you're discussing on?
Yeah. We wouldn't know.
No, exactly. Never mind. There's got to be better features than just the mapping thing, though. Surely, is there nothing new come out? We've still got Passbook. We've still got all the stuff that they talked about. Have they not slid anything under the wire? There's no cool nuggets.
No, they tend not to do that because these days, nearly all the sort of the top level features are all pre-announced, and you know that's pretty much what you get. It's very rare that they'll bring in something brand new that's not been pre-announced. The only thing we can expect, I suppose, is perhaps some new iOS apps, new versions of iWork. You know, with Mountain Lion coming out, and there's still this disconnect between iWork on iOS and the iWork apps on the Mac. Hopefully, they'll bring out some new iOS versions of the iWork apps at the same time.
Now, there might or might not be, of course, a couple of developers sat in the chat room who may or may not be talking about publicly available information. But one of them saying iOS 6 itself is a major improvement on older tech, talking about the iPhone 4. You know, I know what, I'm not going to ask Don that because Don doesn't own older tech. Don's older tech stops books from falling over. Have you heard anything about that? Is iOS 6 improving the older experience? Because I'm thinking very poignantly here about Mountain Lion really tangibly improving older technology for the Mac. So is iOS 6, you know, have Apple got this idea of almost looking a little bit retro, looking a little bit towards improving older tech?
Well, so I know that there are some features that aren't available in some of the really old models, but I mean, that's normally the way they thing they try to do, isn't it, to make it run well on old gear. I have to say that this is the first beta that I've actually put on my sort of my real phone. I did put it on when it first came out and took it off pretty sharpish because it was falling over left, right, and center. And there were a couple of key applications that didn't work under iOS 6. But when the new beta came out, I sort of just asked on Twitter, you know, is anybody using it? Is it stable, the beta 3? And probably 9 out of 10 people said that it's fine on beta 3 and they've been using it as a primary phone for quite a while. So I just went ahead and downloaded beta 4 and stuck that on my phone. And it's not really caused me, one or two applications have crashed. But again, you expect that with a beta release of iOS.
One or two of your applications, or the developer that you
know? No, just third-party applications that I've used. You know, you'll sometimes they'll just exit for no apparent reason. But
how would you know? Because how would you know? You haven't got iOS 6. You're not a developer. You're only talking about.
Oh no, I have got iOS 6, and I'm not really a developer. But I've got iOS 6, and I can admit to that. It's just I can't. No, but it's quite nice. It's very polished and works pretty well. It's pretty smooth. As I say, we need all the developers to release their apps with full support for iOS 6, and that's slowly happening, but we won't see the big sort of flood of them until the final release candidates out.
Now, what about the super maps bit? Is that the real nice zoom in around the cities and that kind of stuff? Is that improved at all?
That's only on the iPad, and I've not put that on my iPad as yet, I think. Yeah. Am I right in thinking that's only on the iPad?
I don't know. I don't think so. I thought it was on iPhone, but if it's not, that's fine.
I'm not. Any changes in the wallpaper, Don, or not?
New wallpaper. That's what we need. Well done, Grady. Bring it back to the real stuff.
I don't think so. But did you see that thing? I think you mentioned it before about the someone's tweaked the iOS simulator to make it go into into the alleged or rumored new resolution, and it worked, and all the icons lined up nicely with the sector row of icons underneath.
Beta 3,
it didn't actually do that. It was just like a mess. You know, if you elongated the home screen, it wouldn't format the icons properly, but at the latest release, it will actually reformat the icons.
So what we're saying now is we've got that extra line of icons that we would need if we had a longer iPhone 5, the iPhone comes out.
Yeah, so that rumour is looking more and more, and with all the rumours of the new hardware coming out, That rumour seems to be pretty much...
Dr. Appimac, are you bored? Is that why we're getting a picture of your frigging dog?
Sorry, it's just a bit of change of scenery.
Yeah, okay, right. Thanks, mate. If you don't want to do it, just say so. It's all right, you know, we'll move on. Sorry to interrupt. Xcode was also released. Version 4.4.1 is out there. Any big components associated? I have no idea whether this is newsworthy or not. As I say, I've been up my own backside for a week. But it's available in the Mac App Store, and it's free, which is nice. Mm-hmm. But is there anything earth-shattering within this, or is it just a little bit tweaky and nothing more than?
Icon Creator.
It's icons.
Yeah, it's good. Icon Creator. Open Icon Creator. You can drag an image into Icon Creator, yeah, and then say, preview this in the dock, and then the little image that you dragged in appears in the dock.
So is this? I mean, if you've downloaded this for free, is this something that it's kind of almost drag and drop to create your own icons for your own?
Yeah, you just drag an image in and you say convert it to whatever, and it does it.
So
it's really good.
I'm an absolute numpty. I have no idea how to start programming in Xcode at all. I couldn't even do the Hello World thing if I had to, and I could manage to make my own icons for my own desktop.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a separate application from Xcode. It's just included as part of the Xcode bundle.
Right.
I know that.
I'm just saying to you in that.
Will was happy that he got something he could teach me then. Go on, mate.
Yeah.
You're a trainer at heart.
Well, I know. I thought I'd share that. And Donna's trumped me with his...
No.
Clever chat.
Actually, there's been a lot of discontent on Twitter from developers because, you know, there's the sandboxing rules for the Mac App Store now are quite stringent, and some apps have actually left the App Store because they can't meet the sandboxing requirements.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, Xcode is the least sandboxed application ever, and so, you know, Apple just aren't sticking by their own rules, and they're doing their own thing for their own bloody applications, hell, which is a little bit naughty.
Well, they are kind of trustworthy, though. That's the whole point, though. I mean, the reason of limiting developers is the fact that they're worried about developers not being diligent and not being honest.
Yeah, I think just people are going through so much pain that it just irks them to see that, you know, that their own developers don't have to worry about that too much.
No, it's
a valid point. Yeah,
I mean, I'm not a developer or anything like this, but it strikes me that the code signing part of it is easy to do, mm-hmm, and you don't even have to pay for a code sign in or a license, do you? You don't have to pay for a license.
No, you just have a developer account. Well, you know, there's just a $99 a year or whatever that is. But
so, yeah, what's the big deal? Why are they getting all arsy about it when it's pretty reasonable, really, for people to want to trust the application? What's the big deal?
It's not so much because there's two separate things. There's the code signing. So anyone can create an app and get an Apple developer account and create an application and sell it through their own website. You know, it doesn't have to go through the Mac App Store. And there are no sandboxing requirements on those applications. But they can still be code signed. So, you know, if you have the middle setting in Gatekeeper, the application will still work. It's when people want to sell through the Mac App Store. I mean, there are huge benefits of selling your app through the Mac App Store because although Apple take 30%, you know, you've got the distribution in place, you've got the, you know, a place to point people to. They sort out all the downloads and everything. So there is a huge benefit in actually being in the App Store. And but to do that, you have to have your application sandboxed, and that seems to be the issue that people have, that, you know, in some cases their applications, because of the very nature of the applications that they are, they might have various hooks into various bits of the system, but they can't actually sandbox that part away.
You say sandbox, and is it like a fixed memory space type style thing?
Yeah, it's sort of segmented. It's like in iOS where all the applications are segmented and there's no crossover or there's no intercommunication or limited intercommunication between the applications. Apple are trying to do the same on the Mac so that, you know, if there is malware or a malicious application, someone develops one, that it can't actually get to various parts of the system and do naughty things to it.
But I thought sandboxing has been part of iOS since OS X, since Snow Leopard.
No, there's memory segmentation and thing, and there's various security things in there, I think, which make the OS more secure. But no, the sandboxing thing is quite new. That only came out. In fact, they pushed it back. I think it was supposed to come out late last year, but they've sort of moved it to June. I think it actually came out.
I think there's a cross between sort of memory allocation and code signing actually is the same-ish as sandboxing. I've got a feeling that sandboxing is part of Apple's evil empire to get people to move over to the App Store. And if you don't sign into this App Store thing, there's no technical reason why you shouldn't be able to... I've lost the train of thought now.
Yeah,
Apple. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's almost as if they're trying to push developers into the App Store for no technical or security reason.
I think Apple is genuinely bricking itself over security within its platforms now. And it's good because it's recognised the opportunity for it to be hacked, sliced to pieces by people coming in with malicious code. It's passed applications with backdoor access that have been found by third parties, not found by Apple. And I think they're very bothered about their corporate image, a customer image, you know, at the retail level. They're selling their devices on simplicity, and they're selling them on the basis that you can give this to your grandma, she can't hurt herself, and lo and behold, you know, people are trumping up with stuff that can. So that's, I think the impetus behind it is good, that the moral behind it is to try and make it a safe environment. But the way that they've gone about doing it is just so clumsy. There's no finesse about how you request application access across platform across apps. It's just right. That's it. Here's a box. Stay in it. Don't come out, no matter what. I mean, the chat room saying, TextMate was particularly popular as a text editor, but they've had to go completely open source now because of the fact that they can't exist in the Mac App Store anymore. Their livelihood has been withdrawn by the way that Apple have gone about it.
But they can still sell it. They can still sell it, you know, independently if they want to. Apple aren't stopping that. You know, you can still, and you can sell applications that will run on the Mac that aren't even code signed. They'll just pop up a warning that, you know, Gatekeeper knows about it. So Apple haven't stopped people developing applications. They're just putting in some restrictions and a framework in place to say, well, look, if you want to sell your application through our Mac App Store, which is, you know, going to be the trusted way of buying applications, it has to conform to these particular restrictions, and that's what they've done. So they haven't sort of locked out people. They haven't stopped people from still creating and developing software. It's just that if you want to play in their Mac App Store, you've got to play by their rules.
And Don sold out. What's happened to the Maverick, Don?
Don.
The pot smoking.
Don, the long-eared pot-smoking Don.
Yeah, where's he gone? He used to say, balls to Apple, I'm going to do my own thing.
But I think we have a title.
He just, you know, toe the line. And
I could be very upset with Apple for kicking my apps out of the App Store.
Go on, then.
But I'm not going to know, because I've got more apps in waiting for them to be approved. So fingers crossed this time we'll get them through again, you know, but we'll see. But no, I mean, like the thing with the SEO tutor apps on iOS, they came up with a rule. The rule is now, if it's just pure video content, you know, it can't stay in the store, so we'll withdraw it. Which, you know, I couldn't really argue with that, because they are mainly video content. The new versions have got some extra whistles and bells, which will hopefully get around that. But, you know, it's their store, it's their rule, so, you know, you got to play by them.
Chat room has taken on to the fact that Will's gone off on a tangent, and because we're talking about signing, there's loads of jokes about signing and co-signing now and tangents. Very good. Intelligent jokes here. Very impressive. Very, very good. Dragon is taking on Siri, it would seem. They've created an application that will allow you to do Siri-like activities within iOS. And they're also talking about, with payment systems, Dragon creating a voice authentication system. So when you pay for something with your NFC, you'll have to speak, and Dragon will recognise that it is your voice and not someone else's before they'll let anything pay. Siri's come under a bit of stick this week, because Google have also said that they're having a go at voice recognition within their stuff. Google Voice is going to get more Siri-like, unquote. Is Siri, is Apple in danger of losing out in the Siri interactivity functioning area of smartphones? Because it's particularly poor. I've used Siri this week, and it doesn't do a great deal. It's very difficult as well if you've got poor reception.
Well, that is one of the new things in iOS 6, isn't it? They're enhancing Siri to include lots more functionality. So,
you know, again, internationally.
Yeah, it's international as well. It's also going to integrate with sports stuff and integrates with the turn-by-turn directions, stuff like that. So that should be quite interesting. I mean, it's good that other vendors have also got other offerings in the same space, because it forces them to try and keep ahead of the curve and try and leapfrog them if they can when the, you know, when the different releases come out. So no, competition is good.
Good. Anyone else think about that? No? Right, okay, fair enough then. I'll move on. While you're talking about apps as well, and apps not getting traction, and sandboxing, there was a report this week on, I think it was the unofficial Apple weblog, about zombie apps in the App Store. Now, these are supposedly applications which have basically slipped through the cracks in the floor. They've gone in and they've had no downloads, apart from ones that the developers have done themselves. And you go on about Apple having, you know, saying there's X thousand apps in the App Store at the moment, and we're giving billions of dollars back to app developers. They reckon there is about 400,000 applications in the Mac App Store that have had no downloads.
That can't be right, surely.
Yeah, iOS App Store has got a... It's a company, mobile analytics firm called AdEven, has said that two-thirds of the store consists of zombie apps. 400,000 applications have received little or no downloads. Hundreds of thousands of applications are being passed over because of the fact they just cannot be found.
But Don's got a few, haven't you?
God.
Sorry, Don.
That's all right, mate.
That was a low blow.
I can't imagine any apps not having any downloads whatsoever. I mean, if friends and family download them, you're going to get, you know, half a dozen two dozen downloads of any app, I would have thought. But, and it's not easy to get these apps into the App Store. You know, the actual submission process is quite horrendous. So, yeah, that surprises me that there are so many. I can understand there being that many that don't really have very many downloads, but certainly not that many that have zero downloads.
That's, well, no, these are next to zero. They're as good as zero. But what they're saying is two-thirds of the applications in the store have got next to zero downloads. Yeah. And there is a real problem with the Mac App Store and the iOS Store. And I'll say this as well within podcasting, it's extremely difficult to get yourself found. I mean, I used the system badly. You know, when we went from being Bagel Tech to being British Tech, I deliberately reset all the feeds and started again because I knew people coming in and being as new subscribers to a new show, we'd get massive exposure straight away. But, I mean, that was me railing the system. But if I'd have just kept with the old feeds and just changed to British Tech Network, we'd have grown nowhere near as big as we have in the last few months. You cannot find things in this store. You get about 35 to 50 applications which are prominent, which stand out, which you can find across different topics. And then to try and dig down even further, even sometimes when you've got the search term, is incredibly difficult.
Mm. Yeah, no, it is. It's really hard. And, you know, if I'm looking for applications for the iPhone, if it's a particular type of application, I'll do a quick search and it might come up with 20 or 30 of them. Well, which one do you pick? Because most of them have got no ratings on anyway. And 9 times out of 10, I have to say, I just turn to Twitter and say, what's a good application for X or for Y? And, you know, if I get 3 or 4 people responding back with an application that they've used and they'd like, I'll go ahead and I'll use that one.
And that perpetuates the populace.
Yes, yeah. So, you know, it's really difficult to raise visibility of apps in the App Store. It's horrendously difficult.
But also the whole system where it's not so much the number of downloads you get, is it? It's the increase in the number of downloads from the previous week is, I think it's specifically designed by Apple to churn apps through the store to give the casual person that comes to the store, the impression that new stuff is always being put into the store. I mean, for Apple's point of view, if you've got the same storefront, the same 50 apps in the top 50 places every week, week after week, you know, that makes the whole place look really static. I mean, it's not great for developers, but it's certainly, you know, from Apple's point of view, to have apps bang into the store.
Absolutely. I mean, this is like a car showroom, isn't it? You know, if you're talking about a used car showroom, the one thing you do is rotate the cars around and put some inside the showroom and some outside on the forecourt because you want to make it look like you're churning cars regularly to get customers in. And Apple's very good at that. I mean, they give new stuff a lot more opportunity to be visible, I'll grant you. But I think the App Store's got to the point now, it's even if you know what you're looking for sometimes, it's nearly impossible to find it. There's a lot of work's got to be done to the App Store, surely.
But then, you know, at the end of the day, some of that is being a victim of its own success.
Yeah. I mean,
just the number of developers that pile in every week with apps. You know, it's feasible, but there is no realistic way to manage that system.
Yeah, I mean, the chat room here is saying straight away that the store is a real dog of a thing. Don't like it at all, and Will's getting loads of stick as well.
But it's also, it's built on, you know, the whole, the App Store, the Mac App Store, anything that's, you know, the actual app, Mac App Store, which is reminiscent in some ways of, and probably is based on the underpinnings of iTunes, is, you know, iTunes itself is just painfully in need of a overhaul from start to finish.
Roof, roof.
And she's outside.
Well, mind you, didn't Apple buy a couple of search companies or something, or a couple of companies that was to do with app discovery? We might still see some stuff coming through, but it's such a hard problem to crack.
It is. It's a tough one. We are now Mountain Lion, week two.
I've been Mountain Lion
in the Mountain Lion house. It's week two. Will is in the garden. Any other problems? Anyone got anything?
Seemed Dropbox needed updating. What was one of the few things that broke was Dropbox, wasn't it? The actual sort of the contextual link in the OS to share folders vanished, and you needed to go manually download a new version of Dropbox to restore that.
Right. I have to say, after Will goading me last week into putting Mountain Lion on the production machine, I did it like an arse. And because I mean, it's a day. If it doesn't go well, it's a day putting everything back for me. And touch wood, smooth as silk. Mm. Everything's worked. The sound cards worked. Wirecast has worked without any updates. Everything has run just smooth as silk as the podcast goes black. But no, it's great. I'm really enjoying it. There is issues though, allegedly, about hammering a battery life. We talked about this briefly last week, and I said my batteries were definitely going down and no one had done any tests. I've also got the issue with the lid being closed, and thank you very much to a guy on Twitter. I need to find his name. But he very kindly sent me through some information about closing the lid and not getting the response that you need for your battery just suddenly dying. I need to find it, but anyway, he's given me a link on Google which has told me to delete the sleeping preference files, but there's some stuff coming out now that's saying definitely there is some downgrading in battery. I mean, Don, you're running off the Retina display MacBook Pro now, so you're right in there for
yeah, talking about battery. I haven't noticed it, to be honest.
Nothing?
Not really. I haven't used it. I mean, when I use it on my desk, it's plugged in all the time anyway, but on the couple of evenings when I've actually used it in front of the TV, it's lasted the whole night, and I've not really noticed any particular. But it's a new machine, so I'm not familiar with, you know, how long it should last, to be honest. But it's not an issue as far as I'm concerned yet.
No. Will, you're on a MacBook Pro as well, so anything there?
No, it's great. Excuse me. Yeah, absolutely love it.
You got no issues closing the lid or anything like that with it then coming back up with a. But you did a fresh install, didn't you?
No, you did a straight upgrade. It was the Lion was a fresh install, but the Mountain Lion was a fresh upgrade. Upgrade. That's what it is.
Mountain Lion's an upgrade.
It's not a fresh upgrade. It's just a regular upgrade, and it's been working beautifully, really lovely, and seems to have solved all of the graphics problems that I had and everything. I absolutely love it. The only thing I do find with it is, you know, when you run out of battery and you put it back in again, when it starts up, I probably have to wait about 2 minutes for the machine to become responsive. So, you know, there's a gray screen and there's like a little white bar that goes across the bottom saying that it's restoring. And in the past, that used to be, once that had happened, then it was, you know, worked straight away. But now I'll find it'll take 2 or 3 minutes for the mouse to start moving and things like that.
Do you actually have any... Sorry, Will, carry on. I thought you finished.
No, that was pretty much it, really. I was even boring myself, so...
No, I wasn't. It wasn't because you were boring. I thought you'd come to the end. I was just trying to have a big gap.
You carry on, Ewan. You carry on.
All right, shut up.
That's all right.
Right, DHM, any bleatings from your customers, mate?
No, it's been really smooth, really good.
Which is not good for business.
Well, it's quite nice because people get happy, and people weren't very happy with Lion, and with a lot of unhappy customers and stuff going on. But it's only a few days before I went on holiday and a few days when I came back. But, you know, a lot of customers are going straight from Snow Leopard to Mountain Lion, so they're missing the Lion experience entirely.
Oh, that's no good.
Has anybody tried Mountain Lion Server?
Not yet.
Well, now here's a good point here, because this is the Mac App Store all over. I read the thing about the fact that people who got upgrade certificates were actually being given Mountain Lion Server instead of being given Mountain Lion. And I thought, well, actually, I've got a machine here that does nothing but supply all of the iTunes content to all of the Apple TVs around the house and that kind of stuff. I ought to try Server on this. I can't find it. I can't find how. How do I put Mountain Lion Server on that machine? I couldn't find it in the Mac App Store.
It should just be. It's an extra application, isn't it? It's not a.
Yeah.
It just goes on top of Mountain Lion.
It's called Server App. Don't do Lion Server or anything like that. Just do Server App. And...
Right. So I go to the Mac App Store and I just type in Server App.
Yeah. £12.99.
Right.
The previous one was about 35 quid, I think, so they've reduced the price as well.
Well,
just type in server.
Yeah.
Type server in the search, it comes with OS 10 server.
Well, my search criteria was Mountain Lion server, and it didn't come up. And I've just typed server.
It's not called Mountain Lion, though, it's just called OS 10 server.
Hmm.
Well, I've just put in server app, and it's not come up.
Just server.
Yeah.
Just put S.
I've just put in server, absolutely sod all.
It doesn't have the icon, it's the second one. If you type in server, it's the second.
Yeah.
Mobile
mouse server, then OS 10 server.
Well, that has got to be ergonomically the stupidest move you could possibly make. Surely. You've got Mountain Lion server, and you don't call it Mountain Lion server. You've got your own Apple software that's a server, and you don't put an Apple-esque icon on. You put something that looks like a crappy third-party developer on. That is awful. Come on, you've got to agree with me there.
Yeah, but to be fair, it's a sort of crappy third-party developer server.
It is crap anyway.
Yes.
So, all right, should I part with my $13.99 here, fellas, then?
What do you want for $13? Yes, you should.
So I've got to buy Lion as well, though, haven't I? Mountain Lion as well.
Mountain Lion, yeah.
Mountain Lion's got to go on. Dennis Server's got to go on too.
And then,
interesting.
Is it anything like Lion Server? Do you then have to go back to Apple's own download site and download all the actual proper server tools for it?
No, I don't think so. Because
Lion Server was really lightweight, and all of the actual half of the stuff that used to be in the GUI for setting up servers was missing, and you had to go back to the Apple support download site and download half of the server application again as separate downloads.
No, what you had to do is you downloaded Workgroup Manager and the other one, which were sort of, I think, were just to pacify people who are coming from the old server.
Right, the admin tools is not included in the new server, says James.
That's right. There's that, and the Workgroup Manager you have to download separately.
Yeah.
I think they're bundled together. But I think that will go away soon. But for people who want... You probably wanted that stuff to go into sort of the deep and dirty DNS and things like that. But with the new server, they've stripped out DNS as well. Which is probably why it's only £12.99.
So based on the fact I couldn't even find it in the frigging store, everything you've just talked about makes it sound like, why on earth would I want to enter into this?
Yeah, why on earth would you want to enter into it?
What
am I going to get from buying server?
You're going to get MDM functionality for iPhones and iPads.
Forget in about, English.
Okay, the point being, if you're a school or a business, I'm going to say small to medium-sized business, and you want to look after your iOS devices, you want to manage them and deploy software and that sort of stuff, and you're looking for a really cheap way of doing it, then this is a great option and it works really well. I appreciate the server part of it is crap. It, you know, not being able to control your DNS stuff and all that, it's rubbish. But as far as the sort of managing and deploying iOS devices, it works very well. So there you go. I'm bigging up Apple here. Good old Apple.
Well done, Will. Thank you very much, mate. Yeah. But go back to my original point. I've just got iTunes content that syncs on my iPhone and my iPad and that sends out iTunes content to all of the Apple TVs around the house. Should I be buying Am I getting a benefit from buying an OS X server?
No, not at all.
So the thing is with server is it's really meant for managing small work groups and small groups of devices and stuff. And you know, unless you are doing that, there's no real need. I mean, all the file sharing stuff you get with OS X anyway. Just looking through, you know, mail services, calendar service, contact server, messenger server. It's all for managing work groups of people, really, in a discrete unit. So just for
file sharing as well, it's still not giving me no benefit.
Not real. That does include some extra bits. It used to include FTP and stuff like that, but you know, you don't.
FTP is also criminally
on there, I think. Yeah.
Right. I'm glad we cleared that up. $13.99 is now available for drinking beer next week. That's 3 points.
Well, can I interrupt here?
Of course. It never stopped you before.
No, because my time is being paid by my generous employer, Stoneburn. And if you want to know about integrating OS X server with Active Directory and if you know what MDM means and looking after OS devices, send me an email, will.green@stoneburn.com. There you go. That better's done for self-promotion, doesn't it?
Well, it's not self-promotion. You just promoted Stoneburn, haven't you?
Well, I mean, okay.
Do you own Stoneburn?
I wish I did. No. No, I don't. No, it's quite a big company.
Oh, okay. Well, what does Stoneburn do? Tell us. They let you come every week.
Yeah, I know they do. Fools. No, they're a lovely company. It's cloud-based computing. So if you're interested in cloud-based computing, then Stoneburn are your people. They're real. To be honest, they're real experts in it.
Excellent. Would they like to sponsor our podcast?
I don't know. I could talk to them about it.
If they don't mention them again, eh?
Well, they're very forward-thinking, and I'll talk to
Stoneburn. them. Stoneburn.com. Fantastic. Fantastic individuals. Get yourself down there, but make sure that you say... we could give them a load of null returns. So do stoneburn.com/British Tech Network, and when you get your 404, at least it will record it on their site.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Stoneburn.com/British Tech Network plus ilovewillgreen.com.
Won't the plus give them a syntax problem, though? Wouldn't have to be a / I love Will Green.
Okay, then. Do that, then.
And I know nothing, see? I'm good, mate.
We should do a tech podcast, shouldn't we?
We should. Now, talking of tech podcasts and things that you should do, aren't you, Dr. Happy Mac, aren't you and Will doing something soon for us?
Apparently we are, yes.
There's a new project in the offing.
Mm.
A new quality podcast.
Yeah.
Which will be?
That will be the retro
top
tech.
It's not a top secret then anymore, that's right. I thought you were going to give them a teaser rather than just tell them what it is. Yeah, you're doing retro, aren't you? Which is going to be a new podcast, which looks at old tech. Old blokes looking at old tech.
We can't really do that sort of podcast without involving the person that, where if you open the dictionary under retro, it says Will Green.
When your tech knew the 70s. There you go. That'll be coming up next week. And we've got appropriate music for it as well. Try and stay in the screen. There's a good fella, don't you, Chen, will you? You're all over the place, mate. You look like you're going to pick your nose in a minute. There you go.
That was my eye.
Last news story, because there's not a lot happened, but then again, I get told off for saying that. Flip for Mac. Now, I think this is huge. Flip for Mac has come to iOS. No, it hasn't. It's come to the Mac. I read that wrong. I don't know why I thought it had come to iOS. Flip for Mac has come to iOS. As an official download through the Mac App Store, if you want it. But it's on beta at the moment, isn't it?
Yes, an app. I noticed that.
It's an app.
I downloaded it for a client the other day. Yes, it has. Worked very well. Very good.
Hang on. Flip for Mac's been available for the Mac for years.
Yeah, but Flip for Mac 3.0 is now official, apparently. It's an official Windows Media Player.
It always has been official.
No, I thought...
It used to be just the codecs, didn't it? It used to be just the... WMV codecs that would enable Windows Media to play in your browser and in QuickTime.
It's now an application that you can buy as well. So you can get the 3 version that will do the codecs and the standalone player for you. But if you'd like an upgrade, you can get the Pro version for $29, the Studio version for $49, and the Studio Pro HD version for $179. I have no idea what those upgrades give you, though, because all it does is play Windows Media files.
Look at the advertising.
It just give you some encoding. So you can actually encode on your Mac into those formats as well, I think. I think that's what the Studio and the Pro version do.
Which you can do with any free stuff from matchupdate.com. Nice try. Unfortunately, it's not going to work. Never mind. Right. This podcast and all the others would not be possible without UK2.net. They're the people that keep us afloat. They're wonderful. They allow the conversations each week. And we're signed up for them for another 2 years. They're going to look after our bandwidth and pick it all up and keep supporting us. And thank you ever so much, Craig, down there. He's worked very hard to support us. And he says that you lot are buying shed loads of services from them. All of the listeners seem to be buying something, which is great. If you'd like anything that's web-based, domains, VPS, VPN, anything like that, and I bought a couple of domains myself this week, go down there, dead easy. Go to britishtechnetwork.com, click on the link for UK2. That sends you through to their page, but leaves our page open. Go back and look at the sponsors link on the top of our page, and that'll give you all the offer codes that you put into the browser for the UK2 basket once you've bought it. Click all of those through. You'll get massive reductions on stuff. Some of the things go free. DNS management goes to zero. Domains, you lose 20% off domains, which no one does 20%, or 30% even, maybe. Might be more. And you get free months of things, VPS, VPN, that kind of thing. So give them a try. UK2.net, we love them to bits, and we'd be lost without them. Right then, cool things. Mr. McAllister, do you have a cool thing?
Yeah, go on. This, well, Will can benefit from this one. Because as well as Will, I'm also taking care of myself dietary-wise recently, trying to cut down a few pounds, etc. And I've got this app on my phone called MyFitnessPal. It's really good. It's one of these calorie counter type things, but it's really nice because it allows you to enter all the details of the food that you're eating during the day, and it works out the calorie content and gives you targets, and it tells you how far you threw your target for the day. And if it's food that it's got a barcode reader built in as well. So if you pick up a packet of, you know, biscuits, I was going to say, well, I don't eat biscuits anymore. Pick up a packet of food and scan it with the barcode, and it comes up. It works great. Eventually, everything I've scanned here in the UK has worked fine. It comes up with all the nutritional value and everything. You can just add it to what you've eaten that day, and it's all your activities, all your swimming and your running and everything. You can put that in there as well, and it gives you a nice counter of how you're doing and what your progress is. And it's very, very good. It's called My Fitness Pal. It's free.
Excellent. Like free.
Yeah.
DHM, what do you have for us?
I have a mixture of an app for your iPad or your iPhone and a website thing. I know I work for myself, and I know you and you do as well, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Have clients to invoice, and even Will sometimes has to send a bill out occasionally. So I have got. I use a
web. I don't know what that's about. All the time.
It's
invoice. Fed up of doing them.
It's called. But it's great. Raising invoices is better than sex, mate.
Mm.
I hate it. Personally.
No, it's not. I'm lying. Getting paid is better than that. Go ahead. Sure. Anyway, go on. Sorry, mate. You're doing something sensible.
Anyway, so I've moved over all my invoicing and billing and things to an online service called Cashflow, which is a New Zealand company. And it's absolutely fantastic for doing invoices and bills. And it integrates with your website so people can pay you on your website, or it integrates with your PayPal account so they can pay you via PayPal, and it goes straight into your account so you don't have to worry about filling stuff up for the accountant. And best of all, the website has an iPhone and iPad app as well, which integrates into it. So when I go to clients, I don't need to do anything. I can invoice them on the spot. I just put out the iPhone, fire up the app, fill out the invoice, hit the send button, and then it goes ping, and the invoice appears in their inbox like seconds later, and they can pay it, and it registers as paid, and it does all of my paperwork for me in one big hit.
And does it give you a nice out fee that you can give to the accountant that the accountants love?
Yes, the accountants love,
because that's apparently the big thing.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, at the moment, obviously, the big thing is, you know, oh, I'm a Sage accountant, and oh, God, I've got to learn Sage just to do my bloody books, and I'm a one-man band. It's rubbish.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Mac has never been big on anything to do with, you know, money management and accounting and things, but Cashflow is really, in the last 6 months, the traction it's got with accountants has been quite phenomenal, and I suspect that poor old dinosaur that is Sage is lining itself up. Good Quark Express style kicking.
I had all of that, mate. When I went on my own, I said, right, I've got to have Sage, and I went and bought Sage and paid a premium for it. And then I paid for the course that you go on at Sage that they show you how to use it. And during the course, I actually said, "This is bollocks," and I left. I didn't go back in the afternoon. And it was, it's how to make a spreadsheet really frigging complicated.
Yeah. I mean, cash flow, is you can set it up, you can really delve into it. I know Mark Dalton, who's a listener, and he goes into the thing, he swears by cash flow as well. He's normally in the...
Cash flow with a K.
With a K.
Yeah, I've been using that for about 4 years now. It's 6 years. It's cracking software.
Yeah, and they develop it really hard, don't they, Don? I mean, it's all they're always pushing out new features.
Right. Yes. Yeah, and it's all online as well, which some people don't like the fact that it's actually web-based, but, you know, it's really, really handy. In the 5 or 6 years I've been using them, it's never been actually down. I think never, ever. And I think once, perhaps, I had a problem with a particular form, but, you know, in those years, it's been rock solid, and it's dead easy to use as well.
It's not just invoicing, then. Do you put your receipts and all that?
Oh, no, it's a full accounting package, yeah.
Everything, yeah. It does your VAT returns, it does your receipts, it does your sales, purchases, absolutely everything.
And you can try it free for 14 days. Put in cashflow.com/British Tech Network, and when it goes 404, they'll know that we sent you. And then go back and have a play with it. 14-day trial, and how much is it again?
I think it's about £9 a month.
You're kidding. I'd drink £9 a day, so it's
£9 a month, and you can also they have a referrals program, so you can blag it out to your mates, and you can get effectively free.
Right. Okay. I shall do that, and then I'll.
The actual Mac specific bit, because obviously it's web based, but the iPhone app is it has transformed my invoicing. It makes life so much easier just to be able to hit it on the iPad and write the invoice out and do it there and then on the spot. Brilliant.
None of that forget to cancel and we'll bill you rubbish. There's no card required. You can get a 14-day trial without a card. Just sign up and have a go. Cashflow, KASHFLOW.com. Right.
I knew I had a cool thing.
We're gonna bring their site down. It's £17.99 a month.
Is it?
Yeah, you're being ripped off, mate, if they told you it was £9.
I better check my invoices.
And businesses in the UK will also be charged at VAT. At 20%, so it might be more than that. It might be £20.
Oh, still worth every penny, though.
No, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, definitely. Mr. Green.
I mean, even if you look at how much time and effort you spend wrangling with Sage to do stuff, you know, you would save that.
I just use spreadsheets, and I just send the spreadsheets to him. But if it does what I do on spreadsheets and it's no more difficult than that, then I'm in.
It's no more difficult than the spreadsheets.
Excellent. Mr. Green, what do you have for us?
My own accounting system. Is I developed myself in FileMaker, and it's called Deep Thought, and you open it.
No matter all the columns add up to 42.
Yes. It's called honestly, I swear to God, it's called Deep Thought, and you open it, and you have Deep Thought in front of you, and there's a few sort of random boxes, and you click on them and hope for the best. So it's slightly different to the professional.
And you wonder why you're always in touch with the tax man. Scrabbling. I saw your chest full of receipts, mate.
Well, that's where you keep them, isn't it? That's where you want to put them.
It was a Long John Silver treasure chest full of receipts.
And the other comment I was going to do was Don's pick. Also very good if your child has got... what's the sugar thing? What's that called?
Diabetes, yeah.
Diabetes. So you can scan it and see if it's diabetic friendly.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. You can scan what and see if it's...
The food.
Oh, right. Okay. Is that a barcode?
What else is there in diet?
I'm sorry, Will. There's no need to get aggressive.
Oh, was I aggressive then?
Yeah. Go on, anyway.
I was an angry man. It upset me now.
Well, are you going to do your pick or what?
Yes, I am. I've got two good ones. Really, really bloody good ones, even if I say it myself. The first one is free, absolutely free. Now, I love Tony Hancock, he's my sort of comic hero. Absolutely love him. And also Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister and all those other stuff. And I've bought them on DVD over the years. And what the BBC do is basically extract the audio and sell it. And there's no need to do that. And in the past, it's been a right pain in the arse to take the DVD, the audio off a DVD. And I found a really easy way of doing it, and it's a free application called Mac X DVD Ripper Mac Free Edition. It's not a very catchy title, I'll admit that. Mac X DVD Ripper Mac Free Edition. And all you do is you put your DVD in, you select DVD disc, you select the titles. I've been ripping a load of Hancocks at the moment. And then it exports them as MP3s, each episode, and you can just drag them into iTunes.
And it deals with Disney encryption as well.
It does as well. And it's totally free. There is a paid version, but I wouldn't bother because the free version does everything that I need, and it's really, really good. And it's a nice sort of retro Aqua style interface as well.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Good first pick. Next one?
It is.
Have you done it?
I have.
You really got it. Okay,
here.
Go, right, go, go,
I've
go.
I've got it. I do loads of website design. And if you want to do an icon or a banner or something like that, or just a button, and you go into Photoshop, you know it's a pain in the ass. If you have this whole sort of, for me, I just pick a load of other stuff that I've done in the past and just sort of edit it a little bit and just whack it out. And it's not particularly artistically.
Do you need your customers to know that, by the way?
No, I don't actually. No, each one is handcrafted.
Hewn from Fresh Rock.
Yes, I think deep about it. But if you don't want to do that, there's a fantastic application. I think it's £13.99, and it's called Logoist, Logoist. I think I've messed up with the title of it because it's not about logos, really. It's more about banners and buttons, and it's just incredible. So it does pretty much everything that Photoshop does, but so much easier. It's a beautiful interface. And it's great, and because it's so quick and easy to do. And listen, they're not paying me or nothing like this. They did send me a free copy, I will say that, but I absolutely love it. And when you finished creating your icon or banner or whatever you want to do, you click export, and you can export it as an image, obviously, as a PDF, individual layers, but more importantly, you can export it as a Photoshop file that maintains every single layer and all the transparencies and everything. If you're a website designer, it will save you hours and hours and also give you a real sort of creativity kick. Fantastic. Can't recommend it enough.
Excellent. Put the links for those, if you would, in the show notes, and we'll get them up. I'd also say a special thank you to Miles Wheatley as well. Paul Wheatley does the iOS show and that kind of stuff, and Miles is his dad. And Miles is the guy who's been doing all the show notes for all the shows. He goes into all the docs that we've done, links them all together, and then puts them up on the blog. So thank you very much, Miles. That really would be lost without you. I've enough to do at the minute, so thank you ever so much, mate. Lifesaver. Brilliant.
Where's the show notes in, Rankin?
If you go to our website, down the left-hand column, you'll see shows, and then you'll see blogs, and Snotes, S-N-O-T-S, is on the right-hand side. Click on that, and all of the show notes are there. And all the show notes also go in the right-hand column of the main website for each of the shows as they come up. You're talking about putting your link in, then the Google Doc that I sent you that we use each week for the stories and stuff, if you just put it at the bottom there, you know, Will's pick, and then just put a link in. Miles can just cut and paste it rather than trying to listen to it and then go and find it.
Can I say one last thing?
Yes.
I've like Snow Lion, or whatever it's called.
Snow Lion.
But this morning, downloaded on my Mac was Don's new screencast online, his second part about Mountain Lion. And I'm really excited about listening to it. So if you're brand new to Lion, then I can't recommend enough Don's stuff.
Thank you very much, Will.
No, it is good. Very, very good. And the magazine as well. Subscribe to the Mag, which was out launched last week and doing very well.
Magazine's rubbish. Magazine's rubbish. Don't bother with that. My magazine has been out there for years. He just copied my idea. He rushed it to the market. He saw mine. He thought, that's a good idea. And he just ripped off my idea. Magazine is rubbish. Don't subscribe to that old tat.
Pete in the chat room says that the show notes in Downcast are really great. I didn't know you could get our show notes in Downcast. So, wow. Cool. Thank you very much. My pick, and I have got a pick, and it is a really cool pick, is from Autodesk, and it's called Autodesk Inventor Fusion. And effectively, it's a CAD system that you can draw components with. It's free, absolutely free. And Autodesk have got some phenomenal stuff in the Mac App Store at the moment, Sketch and a few other things as well, including, I think they've got a DWG reader as well that you can have. This thing is not that difficult to get started with, but once you have, you can get some tremendous looking 3D objects that are really detailed and rotate them. You can get them to spin under power, if you like, so that they rotate as you look at them, like you're viewing them. And the one thing that I don't think anyone's really alighted on is the fact that you can make fairly complicated shapes and make them move here. And if you put them against a green background, you can effectively green screen them. So what you end up with is little movies that you can output if you do a screen capture at a decent resolution that you can use for logos, or you can use for graphics, or you can put in front of other things as well. And it's a lot easier to use than some of the other generation packages where you've got to start looking at components and starting to link them together. This thing does it for you. If you're into making stuff and you want to make stuff that looks like household objects and that kind of thing, or pictures of stuff that you can then insert into other documents, it's a great piece of software for that. And it's all free and it's not that hard to use. So give it a go. Autodesk Inventor Fusion. Go and have a play with it. And tell me I'm a liar. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. McAllister?
Right, well, you can find me over at screencastonline.com, where you'll find my weekly Mac and iOS video tutorials. And you can also find me on newsstands, so just search for Screencast Online Monthly and find that terrible magazine that Will hates.
If you don't want to subscribe to the downloady service for the videos and instructions, if you just want the Mac, you can do just the Mac, can't
you? Yeah, you can just get the Mac, sort of like a light subscription, really. It's not downloadable videos, it's stream videos, some articles in there as well. And that's but if you're a member of the full service, if you're a member of Screencast Online, you get the Mac included with your membership. But if you want to buy the mag separately, you can go ahead and do that.
Yeah, chat room saying, the mag's great, don't listen to Will.
He was only joking, weren't you, Will?
Of course I was. Good. Of course I was. I still think you rushed it to Mars. The magazine comes out about once every 3 years, and I spend a lot of time putting it together.
Have you actually got a magazine?
Yes!
Have you done a podcast lately?
He's pretending he's not a subscriber.
Honestly?
Yeah.
I'll have to get a copy.
It's called the paperback. That's what it's called.
As the plus content coming on your website, Will?
Oh, son of.
Okay. Shut the down then. DHM, where can we get a hold of you, pal? You're on mute, mate. You're on mute.
I'm back.
It's always good video when you come on, mate.
Dog-related audio blocking.
It's all right.
Yes, you can Twitter me at Dr. Happy Mac. Or you can pop along to the website at www.drhappymac.co.uk. But I thought we could also do a little tribute to, before we all go for the weekend and more curry and things. I didn't realise, but have just found out, that the Mars NASA Curiosity rover, which is currently poodling around Mars, is a distant cousin of all of the Macs that we've got. It has a 200 megahertz power PC.
I was going to say, it's got a PPC in, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. G3 processor running at 200 megahertz. So, cracking stuff.
Yeah, apparently the iPhone is more powerful.
Yes.
but it's still earthbound. So, Mars wins it on that. I've got to say, the Mars Curiosity thing, I mean, that was audacious in the extreme.
And I have to say...
Skycrane, brilliant.
Yeah, it's on Mars... And it has lasers. Crucially, this thing has a laser.
Freaking lasers.
As a laser on Mars.
Freaking lasers.
Running around the surface of Mars, and it's thinking to itself at 200 megahertz, pew, 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 pew. Brilliant. That's what human race is all about.
Maybe it'll find Beagle and shoot that.
What does it need lasers for, though? Beagleton. That's the question, isn't it?
Well, they're going to send it to look for Beagle, aren't they? NASA said if they get some time, they're going to send it to have a look for Beagle.
Is Beagle in the Gale Crater, then?
Somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, but isn't the Gale Crater like 500 miles across?
Well, it's going to be there for years. It'll trundle around. And when it finds it, it can shoot it with its freaking lasers.
Mind you, they've got to do a software upgrade to it while it's actually on the surface in a couple of days. It's going to take 4 days to upgrade the software.
Bit like the Lion upgrade, then.
A little bit.
Bit of a delay.
You might wonder why they have to do it now. Apparently, they need to replace some of the software. A lot of the software that's on board now is to do with the actual journey, you know, getting it there. But now it's there. They upgrade the software to do all the scientific-y things. So they're going to upgrade the software. Imagine doing that remotely on Mars.
Well, it takes 16 minutes to talk for transmissions, doesn't it?
Mm.
Apparently, as well, Sarcastic @SarcasticRover on Twitter has got some very interesting slants on some of the Mars rover tweets. We'll have to.
But so was the actual official Mars Curiosity's first official tweet from Mars was pretty awesome.
I don't believe that it's tweeted it. It's some bloody in Houston.
it's alive.
Oh, you sucker.
It's like Wall-E all over again.
You sucker.
It's live. Leave it alone. It's tweeting from Mars.
And Greeny, where are you, mate?
Well, we mentioned Stoneburn, so I'll go for either BritishMac.com.
Yep.
And you can subscribe to the Plus and the magazine as well.
But never read them. Do you get access to the back catalogue on those as well?
Yes, you do, yes.
Both single instances?
Free, unlimited access to the back catalogue.
To two issues.
I'll take you across the south coast of Devon and do a bit of screencasting as it should be done and other stuff as well. And, well, that's it really.
Okay.
And also Pipe Smoker of the Year. And also shortly, I will be open. Don?
Yeah.
When I said screencasting as it should be done, I was only joking.
I think he knows, mate, and I don't think he feels threatened.
No.
And the magazine thing. See, the thing is, hold on, my magazine is called Paper Mac, right?
Paper Mac Writer, we get it, yes.
Only because I told that joke last week and Don wasn't there.
I told you.
But Don wasn't there, he hadn't heard my joke.
Oh,
and you've ruined it, mate.
That's me all over, isn't it? Yeah, I'm just a killjoy. We'll be back again next week with the Mac News. We'll hopefully have a full panel.
Hang on a bit.
Good news is, as well, that Kyle is safe and well, even though he's not here this week.
I was going to ask if anyone had heard from him.
Yeah, he's him and his wife spent an entire day going around their house putting up things like televisions and radios and sofas on stools and plinths and that kind of stuff, just in case the place got flooded. And they spent a whole day putting them all back down again because nothing actually happened. So apparently he's been fine and dandy. But the reason he's not here today is they've gone out and helped some of Tina's family because they weren't quite so lucky. So and TJ Manatuck on Twitter, who's come on the show a few times, he's all safe and well as well. He lives on high ground, so they're unaffected. But there's a bit of cleanup to do. So good news. He'll be back next week, hopefully. See you all soon. Thanks for listening.